Father God, how grateful and thankful we are to have the very words of God in our hands, in our Bibles. God, it's the Bible. It's the word of God. It's the truth of God that sustains us, that guides and directs us, that corrects us, that encourages us, that keeps us, Lord, in the center of your will. And so I pray for all of us this morning that we would not only on Sunday mornings find ourselves in the text, but throughout every single day of the week, desiring to read your word. God, for many of us in this room, we know the depths of your word. We know the fruit of your word, the truth of your word, and it is your word that keeps us in your will and keeps us upon the path that leads to you. So bless this time as we read, bless this time as we consider, and bless this time as we apply these truths from the Apostle Paul as he instructs young Timothy in your truth and in your ways. So give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. We want to be more like Jesus, so transform us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Starting in verse 1, I want to read the first 7 verses to start. Paul says, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." As Paul opens the second chapter of this book to young Timothy, the very first thing he instructs him to do is to be a man of prayer. Prayer is obviously so important in the life of every believer. Prayer is that thing that God gives to us, as we see here, the 4 different kinds of prayer: supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. All of these are prayers to God. All of these are us lifting our hearts, lifting our voices, lifting our thoughts to a holy God. And God wants you to speak to him. God wants you to talk to him. And you don't come to God in prayer because you've done something good. You don't come to God in prayer only when you got your life in order. Anybody in this room not have their life in order? I stand before you. I'm still working on it. God wants to talk to us, guys. And I love the fact that Paul, in instructing Timothy in this chapter, one of the very first things he wants Timothy to do, even though he wants him to, you know, teach truth, he wants him to, you know, find error in the church and deal with issues in the church, one of the very first things, pray, Timothy, pray. Not prepare good messages, not make sure you're ministering to the people that are hurting, not make sure you go doing hospital visits, not officiating weddings, not officiating funerals, none of the things of ministry. No, what does it say? Be a man of prayer, Timothy. That's so important in the life of Timothy. It's so important in our lives as well. How many of us in this room know the power of prayer? Okay, we got to get you all there. Prayer. Have you ever, I know you have, so it's rhetorical, but have you ever prayed and God answered in such an amazing way, it blew your mind? It's like, God, I just wanted you to do this, but you did that and all of these other things. That's the heart of God, as he wants us to come to him and pray to him. Lord, let us be people of prayer. And I don't know about you, but how many times have you heard someone say, well, all we can do now is pray. Almost as if it's the last resort. Almost as if, oh, well, we've tried everything else. Well, all we can do now is pray. Well, Timothy takes that sentiment and he turns it on its head and says, no, all you can do is pray. The very first thing you should do is pray. Not the last resort, the first priority. It should be the first thing that we do when you have a need in your life. And even if you just wake up in the morning, pray. right? You get in your car, pray. You get to your office, pray. Whatever you're doing, start with prayer. And this is something this pastor learned very early on in my walk with God as we came back from a missions trip in Peru. And the love that the Peruvians showed us, but also the heart of constant prayer. Whenever you had need in your life, pray. Whenever something going on, pray. And listen, when nothing's going on in your life, pray, right? Not just when you have something that you need. Because the person that practices prayer, when the need comes, prayer will be the first thing. Because if prayer isn't a priority in your life, then you're never going to utilize it until the very last moment. And so what I've titled today's message is Prayer with Power, Praying with Power. Praying with power. Guys, we're going to see it as we go through this, we're going to see that God has given us prayer to have power in our lives, to have hope in our lives, to have presence of the Lord in our lives. Prayer is not the last resort. It is the first priority. And Timothy writes to this young pastor about leading a healthy congregation in a troubled culture. And the thing he tells them to do, be a man of prayer. Get on your knees. Seek the Lord. And prayer, we were just talking about this last week. I don't know who it was I was talking to. But prayer is not your eyes closed, your hands folded, your head bowed. Did you see that anywhere in your Bible? Did Jesus say, when you pray, close your eyes and bow your head, fold your hands? No, we don't see that. You know how Jesus prayed? Eyes open, head looking up to his Father in heaven, praying to God. Now, I don't think closing your eyes and doing it is bad because it helps us not be distracted. But how much more powerful would it be if we would pray like Jesus prayed with our eyes open, focusing on God, thinking about God, bringing all of our attention to God, and just lifting up and just spending that time. Really, it's an attitude of worship, isn't it, when we pray like that? Lord, we're worshiping you, praying to you. You are a holy and awesome God. We love you so much. God, I have some needs in my life. Not that he doesn't know, but we should certainly let him know what's on our hearts. He already knows. Prayer is not weak. It is not passive. It is not merely spiritual background noise. Prayer is the power line to heaven. And if you're not seeing power in your life, I encourage you, step up your prayer life. Anybody here praying enough? Anybody here praying too much? No, we don't. You know, and here's the challenge for the believer. When something happens in your life that isn't great or is a setback or something, do you ever think, oh, I didn't pray enough? See, when something goes on in my life and I tell my wife about it and she looks at me and says, well, did you pray about it? Boy, does that get me. Well, obviously I didn't pray about it or I wouldn't have complained about it, right? Because prayer changes our hearts. It changes our attitude when it comes to the things that we deal with in our life. Because we're talking to the Creator. We're talking to the one that can change our circumstances, that can get us back on the path that leads to him, that can keep us in that place and presence of his peace and his power. Oh, when you enter into the presence of God in prayer, man, what a feeling it is. Lord, I'm communing with you. I'm spending time with you. And we have God's full attention when we pray. Don't miss that. Because we pray what? In Jesus' name. And we pray with the power of the Holy Spirit. And God is well pleased when we spend that time. I think we all could use that encouragement. Pray more. But don't let it become a works thing. Well, last week I prayed every single day and nothing changed. You ever have that? God says, keep on praying. God says, pray without ceasing. Be a person of prayer. And that's what Paul is telling young Timothy. The first thing we see when it comes to praying powerful with power is in the first verse again, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Paul says, I exhort, I encourage, I strongly suggest that first of all, that you pray. So prayer is a priority. Praying powerful prayers is a priority in the life of a believer. Build the habit, right? Build the habit. Have you ever heard 21 days makes a habit? Are you practicing praying consistently? Taking that time to be in prayer. Paul says, first thing, Paul opens with urgency. Prayer is first. It's the essential work of the church, of a believer's life, is spending that time in prayer. Is prayer first in your life? Is prayer the first place you go or the last place you resolve to? Pray. Now, I don't want to hear this. Well, I just don't pray good prayers. What did Jesus say? When, you know, come to me as what? As little children. Have you ever heard a little child pray? It's not very eloquent. Half the time you don't understand what they're saying. But you know what I do understand? Is that God hears every word. Because God sees the heart. It's not about the words that we pray. It's not about the things that we do. It's not about the position that we're in. It's not about the things that we've done or haven't done. It's about, God, I'm coming to you in prayer because I need you. You need God this morning? You need him? You need him to show up? You need him to do something amazing? Well, spend time with him. I mean, I think about parents and their children. It's like, boy, when kids want something, they ask, I want that, I want that. I remember I was just in the store the other day, and this young kid was saying, I want that. Mom goes, I'm not buying you that. And then she would go a little bit, I want that. No, you're not getting that either. It's like, they just want and want and want. Can you imagine if we came to God like that? God, I want that, I want that, I want that. But we never really spent time with him. We never really spent time worshiping him, acknowledging him, thanking him for who he is. Prayer is the power line for us in our relationship with God. The person that prays to God the most is the person that is so close to God, because you know his heart. Because prayer isn't a one-way conversation, is it? No, we're supposed to listen as we pray. Maybe God will speak to us. Much prayer, much power. No prayer, no power. It's proportionate. If you want God to move in your life, then pray. If you want God to move in your church, in your workplace, in your home, then pray. God, move in my life. Show up and he will. Ask him to do that. Prayer is the fuel that enters into the gas tanks of all Christians. Prayer is the coal that enters the furnace of God's people. Before you start your day, pray. Before you make any decisions in your life, pray. Before you enter into marriage, pray. Before you apply for a new job, pray. Because seeking God is the thing that we all need. And I just love the fact, again, that Timothy's first instruction, one of his first instructions to Timothy, Timothy, pray. Don't fight, don't battle, don't worry about things. Just be a man of prayer. Build the habit of prayer in your life, and this will bring you to the point of praying without ceasing. Because at every opportunity, you will pray, and you will pray, your prayer will become a priority in your life. Does anybody have to remind you to brush your teeth? Does anybody have to remind you to comb your hair? Does anybody have to remind you to do certain things that you just normally do without even really thinking about it? Right? That's what prayer should become. It should be something we just do. And it's just talking to God. So let's break down these four things real quickly. Paul says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplication, specific requests. These are specific needs that you have in your life. Six times in the New Testament that this word is used, supplication, it's always connected to the word prayer. So supplications, are you telling God what you need in your life? Whatever that may be. Needs for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones, for all those you come in contact with. He says supplications. So physical needs. Then prayers, the general communication with God. Paul is emphasizing the sacredness of prayer in Timothy's life. He says, you are praying to a holy and righteous God. That is what God has reminded us, that he is holy, and when we come to him, we must come to him in the righteousness and the holiness of Christ. Prayer is an act of worship, not just expressing your wants and needs. There should be reverence in your heart when you pray to God. You know, when you look at the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer in the Bible, that Jesus says, what does he say? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. When you pray, come to God recognizing his holiness. And I would even suggest recognizing our unholiness. Our unholiness comes to a holy God, but we come to him in Jesus Christ because we wear his righteousness and his holiness. So therefore, we can enter into the presence of God. Let those prayers be a joy in your heart. Do it joyfully. So prayers, intercessions. This is standing in the gap for others. Who in your life has asked you to pray for them? Who in your life do you know needs your prayer and your support? Because something's going on in their life and they're struggling, or they're going through a difficult situation. Are you interceding? Are you intercessing for them to the Lord? And for that, let's go to Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 22. Picking up in verse 23. Because the basic meaning of intercession, again, standing in the gap, or to draw near to a person and converse confidently with them. So we're interceding, we're entering to the presence of God. And here in Ezekiel chapter 22, starting in verse 23, the Lord is speaking to Ezekiel, and he says, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many, many widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath, so that I am profaned among them. Speaking of the children of Israel. Her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. Look at verse 30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. The children of Israel had gotten so far away from living holy lives, from living lives that honored God. And through all of that wickedness and all of that going away from the Lord, God says, I've just looked for one who would stand in the gap. What a powerful thing that is, to think that if God found one that would have stood in the gap for Israel and for his land, he would have relented. Be that one person that stands in the gap for your friends. Be that one person that stands in the gap for the needs of someone that's in your life that you know they're seeking the Lord for. Intercede on behalf. Believe for them that God will do something amazing. What a privilege it is for us to pray on behalf of others. Yes, we have a long list of prayer requests for ourselves, but every now and again, pray for someone else and keep praying for them. And let God do something amazing in their life and let him get the glory for it. We need more people in the church today interceding on behalf of a very dark and lost world. Don't you agree? The direction that this world is going in is not good. But we are the church. We are the ones that have the answer. We are the ones that have that hope. Are we praying for God to move mightily? You know, you hear a lot, pray for revival. Pray for God to move. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for it. But it's got to start here. It's got to start with me, God. I'm not waiting for someone else to do it. God, if you're looking for someone to intercede, I'll be that person. I'm sure there's not one person in this room that has nothing to pray for. And if you are that person, come to me. I'll give you a list. I've got some things you need to be praying for. We all have things to pray for. You pray for your needs. You pray with just communication to God, and you intercede on behalf of others, whether they ask you to or not. That's what Paul wants Timothy to do. And as we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, the last thing, the fourth thing he says here, let me get here. The last one is giving of thanks. Be a person that is thankful. Be a person that is thankful to God. And one of our church verses, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything, give thanks. And I like to remind us always when I quote this verse, it doesn't say for everything give thanks. It says in everything. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, give thanks to God. It changes your heart. It changes your attitude. Listen, there's a lot of things in this world that we're not thankful for. There's a lot of things that we could say, Lord, I'm not thankful for that in my life. I don't want that in my life. I want you to take that out of my life. But if you started being thankful for the things in your life, I have a feeling your attitude will change. Remember the Apostle Paul when he pleaded three times for that thorn in his flesh, whatever that was, to be removed? What Jesus said, my grace is sufficient. I'm not going to let that thorn be removed. And Paul, I believe Paul got into the place of his life where he thanked God for his thorn because it kept him humble. It kept him in a place of need. Sometimes God allows things to happen in your life so that you will rely on him. And that you'll come to him in prayer. Give him thanks. Thanksgiving must be an important ingredient in your prayer. You know, I think we talked about it, wasn't it Saturday where we talked about the 10 lepers that Jesus healed? He said, go to the priests and see if and have them declare you clean. 10 lepers, only one came back. Only one came back to give thanks. He's like, did I not heal 10? Where are the other 9? Be a person that thanks God. Maybe you do. Maybe you're that person that writes down your prayer requests and you pray them every single day. And when one gets answered and you cross it off, right next to it, give God thanks. Don't forget to thank God for answering your prayer. Don't forget to be that person of thanking the Lord. Write this down. Psalm 103 is a psalm that constantly talks about the blessings of who God is. And being thankful for who God is. I'm just going to read some of it to you. It's Psalm 103. And it starts out, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And it goes on and on and on and reminds us of the goodness of God. And you can be thankful when you look back at your life and see where God has been good to you. And for that, my friends, we must say thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for being gracious to me in my life. Paul has a formula for getting God's peace into your heart. He shares this formula with the church at Philippians. He says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, here it is, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and here it is. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your heart. It's our heart that needs protecting. It's our heart that needs to be saved by God. And as we give him these prayers and these supplications and give him thanks, he reminds us that his peace will be with us. Is prayer a custom for you? Remember Daniel? Remember when the king set up the statue, and he said, everybody needs to bow down to and pray to my image that he created. And Daniel says, I'm going to pray to God. Every single day he prayed. It says Daniel prayed, as his custom, 3 times in his room to God. He didn't care what the king said. His habit, his practice was to pray to his God. Don't let anything get in the way of you praying to your God. May it be a habit that you cannot break. He says back here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice he says, give thanks be made for all men, all people. And then in verse 2, he says, for kings and all who are in authority. How much do we pray for the leadership in our lives, in our country, in our state, in our towns? Praying that God would move in their hearts and minds. Some of the Nolensville pastors have been given the opportunity to go and pray when the town has meetings every month before they start their commission meetings. Pastors get to go and pray and ask God to bestow wisdom upon those leaders as they instruct and take care of this town. What an honor, what a privilege that is. What an honor and privilege it is for us to pray for the leadership in our own lives. Pray for your boss. Pray for your organization. Pray for the company you work for. Pray for the school wherever it is. Pray. Pray for the president. Pray for the leaders. Pray that there's some heavenly wisdom would fall upon them. God knows we could use it. We need more of the Lord's presence and the Lord's will to be done in our country. There's good things happening. There's bad things happening. God's allowing it. Are we praying and asking God to move in the hearts of the leaders? Because Paul says, for kings and all who are on authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. There's a benefit to us for praying for our leadership. There's a benefit to us. Because in prayer, don't you find it when you pray it's hard to have a bad attitude? Because I think the more you pray with a bad attitude, the more God softens your heart. At least that's how it happens in my life. If I start getting on my soapbox, God, he quickly reminds me, who are you? And to keep a tender heart. So there's a benefit. Peaceable life. Boy, wouldn't we love a quiet and peaceable life? That would certainly be nice. Paul said in Romans 13:1, he says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. You believe that? God even appoints bad leadership to accomplish his will. God used pagans. God used unbelievers to accomplish his will all throughout the Bible. So God has placed people in authority over all of us because that's what his desire is. Certainly, we should be praying for them. Powerful prayer must be a priority, number one. Number two, powerful prayer aligns with God's heart. Again, look at verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So Paul tells Timothy, be a man of prayer. Make sure prayer is a priority in your life. Pray for your needs. Pray to God. Communicate with him. Intercede on others' behalf. Give thanks to God for the things he's doing in your life. And then the next thing he says, Because that's acceptable to God. It's good and acceptable to God. Don't we want to do the things that God is well pleased with? Don't we want to do the things that please the Lord? Well, this is one thing that pleases the Lord when he sees us praying to him and coming to him. Prayer is powerful because it aligns us with God's purposes and not because it bends God's will to ours. God's heart is that all come to saving knowledge, as we see in verse 4, who desires all men to be saved. I think we talked about this last week, and I hope you prayed for that person in your life that needed to be saved. We all have someone in our lives that is not walking with the Lord, whether it's a loved one, whether it's just an acquaintance, someone that needs to come to Christ. When tough things happen in your life, when people say things that aren't true, when people accuse you for doing, I don't know, something evil, something wicked or deceptive, immediately the flesh wants to respond. Immediately the flesh wants to fight. But you know who fights better than us? It's our God. He fights our battles. I've found in my life, since I've been saved, since the age of 26, he's taught me that if I keep my problems in his hands, he does a much better job of straightening it out. Whenever I meddle in it, whenever I try to fix things, I usually end up there anyways. It's like, okay, Lord, here you go. So give those things to him. Seek his heart. See, powerful prayer aligns you with God's heart. God, change my heart to be like your heart. God, change so that I see people the way you see people. Your worst enemy in your life, God loves and Jesus died for, right? We would think that way. Oh. The flesh wants to say, God, get them. Make them suffer. But you know what? God says, no, I love them and I died for them. And he will love them until he can love them no more, when he's eternally separated from them. We pray because God longs for all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of Christ. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. Aren't you glad of that? When I got saved at 26, the very first thing I thought was like, God, I'm sorry I took so long. He was long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that is the person you don't like. That is the person that's causing you the most trouble. God wants them to come to them. When you've got somebody that's causing trouble in your life, the first thing we have to think is, they need Jesus, right? Isn't that what we needed? I was a good person, but I wasn't a great person. I needed Jesus. I needed God to change my heart. I needed God to change my life, change the direction of my life, because I was a very selfish person. And God, I mean, I felt blessed, but boy, did I get blessed after I came to the Lord. And so that's what people need. We intercede for others because we're partnering with God's mission of salvation. We are carrying God's compassion for the lost. We are participating in the rescue operation of heaven. That person that's causing you most trouble in your life, they need to see Jesus in you. They don't just need to see you. They need to see Jesus in you. I mean, didn't Jesus say this in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God's arm's not too short to save anybody. The most wicked person on the planet today, God's love and grace is sufficient to save them if they accept. Let's pray that he would. Let's pray that they would turn and come to God. Verse 4 says, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth. The truth of who Jesus is. The truth of his word. There's a lot of Christians out there that are believing untruth. I was just talking to someone this morning who had an experience over the last couple of weeks at another another church, a different kind of denomination, and it's like amazing what they embrace against what the truth of the word says. They see it differently. They're deceived. The truth is what God wants people to come to, the absolute truth, knowledge of the truth. And what's the knowledge of the truth? It's of Jesus Christ. Our goal is that they would come under the authority of Jesus, just like we did, and make godly decisions. Someone once said, a lot of people probably once said, I don't pray for my neighbor anymore because he'll never change. Have you ever said that? Oh, there's no hope for that person. There's always hope for people. There's always hope. It's frustrating. It's annoying when they're not saved, but never give up. God's heart is that all come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Powerful prayer must be a priority. Powerful prayer aligns you with God's heart, making sure we check our hearts because he wants all to be saved, and may that be that same heart in all of us. Finally, powerful prayer connects you to Jesus, which is most important. Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And then Paul gets personal. For which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Paul was confident that he was fulfilling his God-given call at preaching to the Gentiles, sharing with them the truth of who Jesus was and the faith in God. And the last thing here, there's one mediator between God and man. And that's Jesus. There's only one way to God. And that's through Jesus. And so many people want other ways. You know, some people say all roads lead to God. No, the Bible is very clear. There's one road that leads to God. And that's through Jesus. And we might not like that. God, I want options. Are you that kind of person? You want options, right? When you go to the restaurant, you want a nice option of menu. Right? Ever been to a restaurant and you look down the list and there's nothing there I want. I need another option. It's human nature that we want options. I always say there's not many ways to God. There's one. And I'm so thankful that God made one. He could have not. He could have said, figure it out. He could have said, you got to live a perfect life before you can get to me. But he knew we couldn't. He knew you couldn't. He knew I couldn't. And so he sent his son, Jesus, to be the mediator between us. And Jesus, living that perfect life, dying on that cross, spending 3 days in a tomb, rising on the third day, and now seated in the right hand of God, is the mediator between man and God. He's the one that says, accept them, Father, based on what I did, not on what they do, not on what they don't do, not on their behaviors, not, I'll take all the responsibility. There's a responsibility that we have as believers to repent of our sin and to know that Jesus Christ forgives us of all sin and all unrighteousness. It's through Jesus. So when you pray in Jesus' name. Is there any other name under earth that's more powerful than the name of Jesus? No. In the name of Jesus, you stop darkness. In the name of Jesus, you stop depression. In the name of Jesus, you stop anger. In the name of Jesus, you find love. In the name of Jesus, you find forgiveness and tenderness and gentleness and kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is in Jesus. We can never stand out there and go, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I don't really need Jesus. No, we need Jesus. And we need to have him be in the center of our prayers and say, Lord, I'm praying in Jesus' name. Guys, I would encourage all of us, when we pray, make sure the name of Jesus comes off our lips. Make sure we're praying in Jesus' name. Make sure we're praying in the power of Christ, because he's the one that paid the penalty. He's the one that made the way. You know that Jesus died on a cross and gave us complete access to God? Before that, you had to go to a priest. Before that, the presence of God was behind a big veil, right? A tall veil. But no, Jesus died on the cross. His sacrifice was sufficient. The veil was torn. And what? We have access to the very presence of God. Don't take that lightly. Don't take that lightly, because that's a very rare thing. That since Jesus died, since he rose again, that there is full access to God. It wasn't like that before. You had to bring a perfect animal to be sacrificed. And those sacrifices, do you know, many times you had to put your head on the sacrificial animal, your head on theirs, as they killed the animal. Can you imagine? I feel like that would help me not sin, because I like animals. But now we have access through Christ. And he has given us that access. A couple more verses I want to share with you. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives, and there's the word again, to make intercession for them. What's the word intercession mean? Stand in the gap. Jesus is standing in the gap. He's ever sent in that place of standing in the gap for you. And Jesus said, John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And while we're thinking about this, there's no other way to the Father except through Christ. So the Bible tells us and teaches us that you have to accept Christ. And that is something every single individual in this room and on the face of this planet has to do on their own. No one can accept Christ for you. You have to do it yourself. You have to say, I no longer want to live for myself. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to live for Jesus. Because that's what brings us to a place of salvation. Turn with me to Hebrews. We're going to close. We're getting close. Hebrews chapter 10. Speaking of the Holy of Holies in the presence of God. Hebrews 10, verse 19, sorry. Hebrews 10 and verse 19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which is consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Boldness. The last thing I want us to consider when it comes to our prayers is praying with boldness. Praying those confident prayers, praying those bold, strong, wow, do me an amazing job, God. Dude, blow my mind, Lord. Those types of prayers. Not just, oh, Lord, I hope I have a good day today. No, Lord, show me what you want to do in my life. Do something amazing. Because later in Hebrews, in chapter 4, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you've got a need in your life, you got to come boldly to God in Jesus, because it's Jesus that did it. God, Jesus gave you the access. And I say it every time. Shame on us if we're not entering into the presence of God, because Jesus has given us that access. So when you pray, say, Lord, I come in the name of Jesus, who has given me full access and has told me in his word to pray bold prayers. Pray bold prayers over your kids. Pray bold prayers over your spouse. Pray bold prayers over your friends. Because God loves to answer bold prayers. You read about E.M. Bounds, Charles Spurgeon, all the great men and women of God. They've done something amazing because of what their hearts were towards God, because of their prayer commitment to God. So be a person of prayer, because that's what Paul wanted for Timothy. He wanted to pray to God, to spend that time in his presence. And I'll end with this illustration. The CEO's top floor office, with glass walls, skyline view, set apart from all other offices in the building. The office has power. Assistants whisper outside the door. Managers straighten their ties before walking in. Nobody barges in. Nobody is casual, except one person. Every afternoon at 3:15, the CEO's little daughter pushes past all the assistants, marches right in, hops into her father's lap. No appointment, no hesitation, no fear. The executives freeze, but the CEO lights up because it's his child. She has access nobody else has. She comes boldly, not because she's important, but because she belongs. May that be our attitude when we come to God, because he's given us access. We don't have to sign up. We don't have to leave a voicemail. We don't have to put him on our calendar. God, I'm going to talk to you next Thursday at 3. You can talk to him right now. And he's never bothered by it. And we can all sit on his lap together at the same time. He's that big. So shame on us if we don't take advantage of the access he's given to us. Pray powerful prayers, guys. May your prayers be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, and giving God glory and honor. He's asking us to come. May we come with confidence and boldness. Let that access be something that you utilize very frequently. Pray for one. This week I want you to do this. Pray for one lost person by name this week. Pray for one leader by name this week. Pray boldly through Jesus. Come confidently, knowing that he has opened heaven's door for you. And as God's child, make your prayer not a last resort, but a first priority. Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are for the reminder this morning of the power of prayer. And God, I thank you that for many of us, if not all of us in this room, prayer is a priority. But what a great reminder. We do know that we'll never get to that place where we've prayed enough. There's always more to pray. But it's certainly not a works mentality. It's just the fact that you've given us that access and you want to talk to us. So as we go about our lives, may we find ourselves turning off the car radio and just talking to you, turning off the TV and just communing with you, finding ourselves in that place of being still and knowing you are God, holy, righteous. And we thank you, Jesus, for giving us full access, that there's nothing more that we have to do to come into the presence of God. May we repent of our sin. May we turn of our wicked ways. But it's only because of Jesus that we can lift our voices boldly and confidently, asking our Father in heaven to move heaven and earth on our behalf. I pray for every person in this room right now. You know what they're going through. You know what they're dealing with. You know what their loved ones are going through, their coworkers, their classmates, whoever it is that's struggling. God, help us to be those people that fall to our knees and lift up a bold prayer to ask you to heal. For we serve a God that gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speech to the mute, ability to walk to the lame. You have raised the dead. That is our God. That is the power of our God. And may we have that confidence, Lord, to ask you to do the amazing things in our lives. We can't thank you enough for the grace that you show us every single day. Bless our lives. And may we in every way bring glory and honor to you. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.